to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, November 25th, 2018.
This Sunday marks the end of our whole liturgical year, our cycle, and it's honored with the title of Christ the King Sunday. Our lessons are always a proclamation, a lifting up of Christ as our King. And as I was thinking about this week, it struck me how kind of strange it is for American Christians to lift up this idea of kings. After all, our Revolutionary War was fought to get rid of kings. We didn't like the king because the king was seen as an oppressive force. We threw his tea in Boston Harbor. We didn't like the idea of taxation without representation. We found the whole British rule oppressive. And so it's kind of interesting for us that kingship is right front and center in our lessons and in our understanding of our relationship with Jesus. What does it mean for people who belong to a representative democracy to have a king? As I dug a little deeper, I thought, you know, the Bible itself is a little ambivalent on this idea of kings. The ancient people of Israel wanted a king back in the time of the prophet Samuel. They cried out to God and said, "We want a king." They looked around at all the foreign nations, the Canaanites, they all had kings. All real countries had kings. We want a king too. And Samuel told them, "Be careful what you ask for. Kings will tax you to raise money for wars. They'll take your sons to fight in those wars. They'll take your daughters to be in the palace harem. Are you sure you want a king?" And the people said, "Yes, we do." And so Samuel, against his better judgment, anointed Saul as the very first king, who was a little on the psychotic side, was a total disaster as king. And after he died, another king, David, was anointed, a wonderful king in some ways, but a sinner as well. And then his son Solomon, wise but faithless to God. And after Solomon, king after king after king in Judah and Israel. And the Bible gives each one of them, if you look carefully, a grade. And most of them scored D or F. Not a great stellar track record. A couple of shining standouts, but mostly not a happy experience. So what does it mean that we have Jesus as our King? How is this a good thing? How is it a way of helping us? I think we all see the difficulties of the frailties of human leadership. We look back, I was thinking about this as well, you know, this idea of kings as tyrants. The 20th century was largely a century dedicated to stopping tyranny of one kind or another. You think about the Second World War, you think about the rise in the early 20th century of so many bloody dictators, so many tyrants. You think of the rise of Nazism in Germany and the emperor in Japan and Tito in Yugoslavia and on later Pol Pot in Cambodia. We've just had one after another example of rulers who oppressed their own people and through their terrible political narcissism just created disaster after disaster. So much bloodshed. So many wars, so much conflict to try to resist this. We see that a little bit today, I think, with the rise across the world of strongmen leaders who are maybe not quite there yet. They're not Stalin yet, they're not Hitler yet, but they're playing from the same playbook. You look at Xi Jinping in China, who's amassing more and more authoritarian power. You look at Orban in Hungary. You look at Putin in Russia, over and over, these leaders who whose aim is not the betterment of their own people, and yet who have massive popularity because people like that kind of strong leader. Against this, the Bible offers us a really radical alternative for what leadership should look like. The Bible consistently lifts up, particularly in the New Testament, a vision of leadership that is the exact antithesis to that concentration of power, to that glorification of self. A model, an image of Jesus as a very different kind of king. It's so stark in our gospel today. There is Pontius Pilate, who is the representative of the greatest empire on earth. He is meant to represent Caesar Augustus to the people of Palestine. He is the representative of all the might and power and wealth and domination of the Roman Empire. And standing across from him is Jesus, the son of a carpenter, a humble teacher, a prophet who is in himself the embodiment of all the might and power of the creator of the universe, but hidden. Jesus, in his response to Pilate, offers a very clear repudiation of that kingship. You know, Jesus' followers would have been delighted for him to become an earthly king. Some of his disciples expected it, wanted it. At the Last Supper, his disciples were arguing, you know, Jesus, when you get to sit on your throne, when you get to be the new Caesar, we want to know who's going to be the greatest of us, who's going to sit at your right hand and your left hand. James and John were obsessed with this, right? They wanted to know, what power are we going to get? What's our payoff? What's going to happen for us when you get to be this earthly king, leading the armies of the world, restoring Israel to its greatness? And Jesus tells them, you have totally missed the point. The rulers of the Gentiles, think Caesar, lord it over their people. They amass wealth and power and might and domination, but my kingdom is not from this world. My kingdom does not operate on the same rules as earthly kingdoms. There is no taxation. There is no levying of armies. There is no military victory. There are no borders, no flags, no nations, no ethnicities. In God's kingdom that Jesus came to represent, there is only one humanity where our king is the one who lowered himself below everyone else. Not glorified himself, but lowered himself. The letter to Philippians so beautifully states this, that Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be exploited, but humbled himself, taking the form of a servant, a slave, and being found in human fashion, he humbled himself, he emptied himself, and became obedient to the point of death on the cross. We do not exalt a king on a great throne. It's one of the images from Revelation. I get that. But our king is naked and bleeding on the cross. Our king is one who sacrificed all for the welfare of all. And I, when I am lifted up, will draw all people to myself. What this means for us, I think, is that we must never fall into the trap of following human leaders who promise everything and give nothing. We need to exalt and hold fast as Christians to this image of Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, recognizing that our common humanity is what Jesus came to redeem. On Christ the King Sunday, we proclaim the very simple and clear truth that we are all in this together. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. We are called into this fellowship of faith to pattern our lives according to the same Jesus who walked among us, who gave up everything for us, all majesty and might and power, to be our humble servant, to teach us to be humble servants for one another. When we practice living in that kingdom, we are truly transformed into the people that God desires us to be, people of love and compassion and charity. I think so often of the slogan that our presiding bishop uses all the time. He's talked about the Jesus movement, that the Episcopal Church, we're part of this Jesus movement. That's his big thing that he talks about, preaches about. It was at the royal wedding as well, if you watch that. And his slogan is, if it's not about love, it's not about Jesus. If it's not about love, it's not about Jesus. My question for us today, as we lift up Jesus, our King of Kings, as we look at these beautiful scriptures about the exaltation of Jesus in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God, is how might we pattern our lives after this King? What difference would it make for us as individuals, as a parish, as a society, as a nation, as a world? What difference would it make if we truly lived that way, following our Prince of Peace in a kingdom of love where all people matter intensely to the loving, creating, and redeeming God made known to us in Jesus our King?